An 82-year-old American company calls it splits.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, Motorola is breaking up. The telecommunications company, which was founded in Chicago back in 1928, is splitting in two. Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Motorola makes the Droid X, one of the hottest smartphones on the market. The company also does big business with police and fire departments.
Motorola has been number one in public safety radios since DIRT was invented.
Edward Snyder of Charter Equities Research says the public safety business helped keep Motorola afloat when its cell phone business was losing $1 billion a year.
The company would have never survived through the down cycle between 2007 and 2010.
In the split, Motorola Solutions gets the more stable parts of the business, like radios and scanners. Motorola Mobility will make the riskier gadgets, like smartphones. Matthew Thornton of Avian Securities says even the mobile business is looking solid these days.
They're not trying to be all things to everyone. They're much more focused and almost exclusively focused on the smartphone category, which is, you know, growing like a weed.
And he expects it to stay profitable, thanks in part to a new product, a computer tablet Motorola is expected to unveil this week. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
To Washington now. Tomorrow, Republicans take over the House of Representatives, and topic number one will be healthcare. They've set a date next week to vote on a repeal of the healthcare reform law. For more on what this means to the industries affected by the law, let's bring in Marketplace's Scott Tong live in Washington. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So Republicans have set a date to vote on this in the House. Where will all that go?
The smart money says probably nowhere, Jeremy. The Democrats, as you know, they still run the Senate. And if a repeal somehow makes it through there, a White House veto awaits. So any change would likely come after the 2012 election cycle. And by then, there's only 1 year left for the big pieces of this healthcare industry overhaul kick in. Meantime, you have insurance companies that have to set up these new exchanges for individuals to shop for plans. Hospitals have to plan to get paid less from Medicare. It's a lot to do in the real world.
Still a lot of uncertainty, Scott, for industry. What do you make of all that? What could happen here?
Well, there's a lot of fretting is what's happening now. Right now, if you're a doctor's office or an insurance company or a hospital, do you invest in new facilities and software and hire new people to comply with this law or not? Robert Leshefsky is a healthcare industry consultant, and he says that is the big question.
Do they spend lots of money only to find out that the Republicans kill this thing in 2013? This political standoff really puts the marketplace in a terrible place, and you would hope that the politicians would understand that.
Now, just to make things a little more interesting, Jeremy, we also have lawsuits and a very real possibility that the Supreme Court will rule in the next year or two on a central piece of the law requiring individuals to buy health care insurance.
Right. Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up 2% in London this morning. Asian stocks jumped as well today. The number of Americans who filed for bankruptcy last year rose 9%, according to the American Bankruptcy Institute. There's word that President Obama may name J.P. Morgan executive and former Commerce Secretary William Daley to be his new chief of staff. It was a strong start to the year on Wall Street yesterday. The Dow jumped 93 points to close at 11,670.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store. And by Reputation Defender, monitoring, protecting, and helping improve your online reputation while deleting personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com.
When the NASCAR season gets underway in Daytona next month, racing officials will be crossing their fingers for a big turnout. NASCAR was once the fastest growing sport in the country, but its popularity has stalled in recent years. From St. Louis Public Radio, Adam Allington reports.
Tennessee's Bristol Motor Speedway, one of the most hallowed of all NASCAR tracks, had a streak of sellout races dating back to the Reagan administration. In 2010, that came to a screeching halt. Jim Pedley is the managing editor of the online publication Racin' Today. He says the empty seats at Bristol are far from unique.
The last Talladega race looked 60 to 70% full. It's still 100,000 people, but there used to be a time when you couldn't get a ticket to a race like at, say, Daytona or Talladega.
And it's not just fewer fans at the tracks. Since signing a $4.5 billion deal with Fox and ESPN 4 years ago, NASCAR's lost nearly one out of every four TV viewers. During the 1990s, when NASCAR made its push for the mainstream, it opened tracks in places like Las Vegas, L.A., and Chicago. In 1997, racer Al Unser Jr. attended the first race at Gateway International Raceway outside of St. Louis.
The type of investment that has been made here will sustain the top form of auto racing for many years to come.
Unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Gateway saw its last race in October and is currently up for sale.
The NASCAR events just haven't been profitable for us.
Terry Harmison manages the track for Dover Motorsports. He blames Gateway's demise on the continued down economy.
If I knew all the reasons why people didn't come, I hopefully would have solved those and found some way to get them to come, but some people don't have any of that extra money to spend, or they got to make decisions as to where they spend it.
Eager to put the past behind them, NASCAR points to increased sponsorship revenue, including a multi-year partnership with American Ethanol. But as Jim Pedley notes, NASCAR's not out of the pit yet.
I think at this point, they'd be pretty satisfied if they could stop the bleeding. If you look at the TV numbers next year, and they're about the same as they were this year, I think they'd be pretty happy about that.
On the bright side, if you're a fan, you're in a buyer's market. Tracks across the country are slashing prices, hoping to fill seats. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
And finally, the moving company Allied has come out with a list of the top relocation destinations of 2010. Turns out Texas is still drawing more relocators than any other state. The other Sunbelt states round out the top five. At the other end of the spectrum, Michigan, Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania lost the most people, according to Allied. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. I guess I'm the only one who thinks the cold weather really isn't all that bad. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
You know how when you call customer service and you get a robot on the other end of the line? Turns out the sound of that voice actually matters.
Voice quality does play a role in the initial perceptions of whether or not a problem will be resolved.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, improving the automated experience, and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.